poorly read.
You ready?
Yeah, babe.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Hi, everybody.
We're back.
Well, we haven't been anywhere.
No, we haven't been anywhere. And to be fair, I think we started last week's episode in exactly the same way.
Do we? This is our first record in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. First record in 2020.
Yes. Yeah. I've been in a Taiwanese prison. I'm back, but I am sore.
Yeah. Life
Let me tell you, you've never had a cavity search until you had one in fucking Taiwan.
People pay for that shit.
I think people have left things in there. But yeah, we're back. Back again. Poorly Read's back. Tell a friend. So what are we covering today, Tom?
What the bloody... We're fucking finishing Goblet of Fire.
The Goblet of Fear.
The Goblet of Fear.
The Goblet of... That is a fucking sick title! Oh my God! Oh, if only, man.
Yeah, Harry Potter and his scary cups.
Harry Potter and the spooky beaker. Oh God. Yeah, I felt emotional when I got to the very end.
So did I.
Did you cry?
No, but I felt feelings. Which is, you know.
I felt a twinge in my nutsack.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. I got emotional when Molly Weasley hugged him at the very end.
Yeah.
That's when I sort of felt like, oh man, this has really been like a fucking journey.
Yeah.
Like from start to finish, he's just been through the ringer.
Yeah.
Felt really sorry for him. He's only 14 years old.
I know.
Don't know what I was doing at 14. What was I doing at 14?
What year was I? What year was I in 14?
Oh, God. So, yeah, how do we begin this fateful episode?
So, chapter 35, Veritaserum.
I did think that said Vietnam at first when I looked at my notes.
Well, this book
Harry's
took a
fucking
turn.
Yeah, sitting on a chair like a bandage around his head, passing around a gun. Like... Yeah.
He lands on the ground.
Yeah. Clutching the cup.
And Cedric's fist.
I was like, look, both my hands were full. I had to put his arms somewhere. Yeah. Dumbledore's like, Harry, just relax.
Yeah. No. He said I need to give it to his parents.
Oh, just the removal and just the fucking smelly brown fist.
Oh.
They're like, well, it seems he died happy. And yeah, rise back, clutching the club.
Catching the club. Yep, he's catching the club.
If that isn't like a Victorian malady, I don't know.
I was
going to
say it sounds like a disease.
Yeah,
because it sounds like catching the clap.
Yeah, maybe.
Where very quickly chaos ensues around him.
Yeah, it's a lot kind of more rapid than I remember it being.
Yeah,
there's not sort of like a moment of like. Everyone thinking everything's fine. Everyone kind of knows it. The shit's hit the fan like straight away.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Dumbledore like swarms in with the rest of them.
Yeah, it's not helped by fucking Cornelius Fudge arriving and just going, oh, it's Cedric Diggory. He's dead.
He's dead. Dumbledore, he's dead. Dumbledore, quickly get his dad here. Yeah. I just like grabs and gives him his glasses like, look. Oh God, I'm gutted that we didn't get the fucking Cedric.
I know, we didn't get the bit you've been looking forward to this entire book. Is that in the film then? Is that where you've got that from?
Yeah, and I thought it was in the book as well.
My boy!
I wanted like a dubstep remix of it. Like, my boy, my boy, kill the spirit. Oh God. But yeah, Dumbledore was like, Harry. And then Harry's like, he's back. He's back. Voldemort's back.
Yeah. They're trying to get him to let go of Cedric. And Harry's like, you wanted me to bring him back to his parents. And Dumbledore's like, yes, that's right, Harry. I'll just unclench.
uncleanse, try to keep everything inside. Oops, we've got a prolapse. Okay.
Madame Pomfrey, your speciality, I believe.
I got the ointment. Yeah, and then, yeah, Fudge says that thing. He's like, oh, God, he's dead. Dumbledore, his parents are here or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, then he's like, yeah, Dumbledore starts to try to take Harry away, but then Fudge is like, Dumbledore, Amos Diggory is coming. Don't you think you'd better tell him before he sees this? Then Dumbledore's like,
no. I'm going to put my hands over his eyes, walk him up, and then go, surprise!
Yeah, so Dumbledore says, stay here, Harry. Don't go anywhere. And then Harry feels someone grab him and is like, come on, Harry, hospital wing. And he's like, oh, but Dumbledore said to stay here. He's like, nonsense. Go, no, no, this way. Come on.
Yeah, and it's fucking Alistair Moody.
But is it?
So, yeah, Moody, with inverted commas around that, takes him back up to the castle and starts leading him up to his office. And as he's going, he's asking him, like, so what happened, Potter? You say you saw the Dark Lord? And then Potter's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, what happened? Did the Dark Lord return? How did he feel?
How did he feel? Was he sad? Was he happy? Most importantly, was he erect, Harry?
Did he make anyone deep throat him?
Yeah. Was it a soggy noodle? Or was it a dry spaghetti stick? Was it his Domio day, Harry? Oh, God. And straight away, I thought, if I was Harry, I would have picked up on, I think, that the fact that he was calling him the Dark Lord.
I know. Well, that's definitely a giveaway, isn't it? But also, Harry's pretty disoriented. And
I guess
like,
he's literally just had the worst experience of his life. No, maybe the second worst. Watching his mum die in front of him is probably
equal. I mean, he doesn't remember that.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, and then as part of the way through Moody's questioning, Harry's just like, oh, I need to tell Dumbledore. There's a Death Eater here. And he's how all this happened. And Moody's like, I know.
Yeah, I know who the Death Eater
is. I know who the Death Eater is.
And Harry's like, oh my God, tell me.
Was it Karkaroff?
Yeah.
No. Karkaroff fled. It's me.
And he pulls out some party poppers. It's like, surprise, Harry!
Like banner comes down from the ceiling. I'm the Death Eater. This is your death.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Oh, God. And I was like, do you know what? I should have realized, shouldn't I, really? Yeah, oh, my God. Egg on my face. Yeah, and then he literally just basically starts doing, like, the Bond, like, villain exposition thing.
Yeah.
Just telling him everything.
Yeah.
And he says it was he who put his name in the Goblet of Fire.
Yes.
And then Harry's like, well, no, like, it couldn't have been you.
It was me, like, who installed the cameras in the prefect's bathroom.
Yet it was me who taught Dobby how to swallow. Like, that wasn't Gillyweed that you had, Potter. Yeah, so he tells Harry everything. And then he sort of says that he was like, I didn't count on you being such an idiot, but I had to give you much more help to get through the task than what I expected. And he sort of tells how every stage of the way he's basically like flopped in front of Harry. Yeah,
like, flopped it out in front of
like he's the one who suggested to Hagrid that Hagrid show him the dragons.
Yep.
He's the one who told Cedric about the egg, what to do with the egg.
Yeah. And even right at the start of the year, he'd already given Neville the book that Harry needed that
would have told him
about Gillyweed.
Yeah, because he was like, look, if you had just asked...
I'd assumed you would ask anyone and everyone you could for help.
Yeah, the answer to the second task was lying in your dorm room the entire time.
Yeah.
But you have a thread of or a strain or a... Streak. You have a viral infection of pride and a thingy that I wasn't expecting.
You have an inflamed skin condition of pride.
You have an inoperable pride.
You have a tumor of pride.
Yeah, and then he said, and then today I offered to be the one to take the cup into the maze. I turned it into a portkey, and then I blasted all the obstacles out of your way, and I enchanted Crumb to do this, and I cleared the way for you, Potter.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And do you know what I did think? Like, we had a whole issue with how his whole plan was kind of dumb because it nearly failed.
Yeah.
I think that's like the way I had been thinking about that was that it made like the book not make sense, but I don't think it does. I think just if we accept that the plan is ridiculous from the beginning, getting him to touch the portkey, if we just accept that that is the plan, the fact that it nearly failed just means that like Crouch Jr. is not infallible. It's just his plan did legit nearly fail.
I would rather that I don't entirely disagree, but I would rather that the plan had failed or had almost failed. No, I would rather that if the plan had have failed, it would have failed despite all of his best efforts and like, what's that thing that you put in place to prevent?
Contingency?
That'll do, I guess. I would rather that it was like, well, this was like a sure thing. And then something completely unexpected might have derailed it.
Right.
You know? But so much of it is, so much of that plan
came down to chance.
Yeah, but too much. Especially if it's a plan to resurrect the Dark Lord. And you're leaving it all down to just hoping that someone does something. Nearly everything is hoping that someone else does what he wants them to.
Yeah.
And not kind of ensuring they do. Just hoping, like with the Gillyweed, he knew that Dobby was close to Harry because of some reason, and then he let when Dobby was cleaning the staff room or something, he talked about Gillyweed staged really loudly.
And I thought, conversation,
and in the hopes that Dobby would then know that Harry hadn't got a thing for the second task yet, and then B, go and tell him.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, that's why wouldn't you just Imperio Dobby to go and tell Harry?
Oh, that's a good point.
Like, that would have made more sense. Like, because you're actually, it's a very sort of like, it's almost like Crouch Jr. was hoping that this plan wouldn't happen, you know? Hoping that it would all fail and then he wouldn't have to deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
It's the kind of plan that Wormtail would do in the secret hopes it would all fall apart.
Yeah.
You know? And then at the end, Wormtail would be like, fuck, I wasn't expecting it all to actually work out.
Oh, I cut my fucking hand off.
Yeah. But then, yeah, for Crouch to do it like this, I think is just a bit bananas.
I guess when you said the Imperius Curse, I was like, yeah, you should have done that.
Yeah.
You should have made a lot better. Can you have more than one Imperio going on at the same time?
I would assume so.
I'd assume so. Probably take a lot of mental power to command those people to do things because he's still got his dad under it at that point.
Yeah, but then that's true. Yeah, I mean, we're still not entirely clear how the fucking Imperial Curse actually works.
No.
So it seems to work however she needs it to at any moment. So, and even like the thing that he said, he offered to be the one to take the cup into the maze at the end to turn it into a portkey. I'm like, what if Dumbledore had been like, no, it's okay, Hagrid's going to do it. And then, because he would have found it hard to, do any spells at, Hagrid, because Hagrid is immune to a lot of stuff because of his half-giantness. Like, that was, the most important kind of bit in the plan.
Yeah.
And it's just, why wouldn't you at least have turned it into, a time-activated portkey, in the days before, when you could get to it while it was on its own? So that whoever took it into the maze, it would have been a portkey when the time...
All right, there's a lot of shit that doesn't make sense.
Anyway, so he gets to the end, and then... Oh, and while he's telling this, Harry looks at the faux glass in his office, and he sees, the figures in it are getting a bit more clearer.
Yeah, but Moody is not concentrating on it.
No, he's all fucking high on his own, I don't know...
Smell of his own farts.
I had an image then of him just getting a cloak and putting it over him and Harry. They're like, Dutch oven, Harry. It's like, ah!
You smell it, Harry.
To injury. That's 100% Death Eater fart there. So I was like, gasoline and onions. Yeah, that's it. And then he's like, There's many similarities between me and the Dark Lord, Potter.
Both of us had disappointing fathers.
Yes.
Both of us are named after those fathers. And both had the pleasure of killing those fathers.
Yes. And Harry's like, ah, oh, shit, son. Also, you both currently don't have noses. Oh, God.
Voldemort's got two slits and you've got a diagonal gash.
It's love. Oh, God. And then he's like, and now, Harry, I shall conquer you. Crank that soldier boy.
Yeah.
And just as he raises his wand, we hear, stupefy!
And then Buddy Dumbledore comes in and saves the day.
Yeah. And Harry gets like fucking like so turned on by Dumbledore being all like powerful and shit. He's like, for the first time ever, he knew why Dumbledore was the only wizard Voldemort ever feared.
Yes, there was an intangible sense of power emanating from him.
Like waves of heat rippling around his body. it's Dumbledore, McGonagall and Snape. And when that kind of happened, those three appeared in the faux glass as well.
Yeah.
Like, super, super clear. And I thought that was pretty swish. Yeah, so Crouch is like blasted across the room. Is he knocked out? He is, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And then McGonagall tries to take Harry to the hospital wing.
Sorry. My note for Dumbledore was Dumbledore is radiating power like heat, like a sexy fireman.
I'm just squirt his hose everywhere. Yeah, McGonagall tries to take Harry to the hospital when Dumbledore says no. He needs to know the truth, etc. So he picks up the flask and a set of keys from Moody's body. He says to Snape, I need you to go and get me the strongest truth potion you possess and then go down to the kitchens and get a house elf called Winky.
Yes, it's... get Crouch's Winky.
I need Crouch's Winky, stat. Snape's, of course, Professor.
Would you like some lube as well? Yes, of course. So like he sniffs the flask and he's like, ah, polyjuice potion.
Just as I suspected.
Yes. And then he takes the bunch of keys and goes to the chest.
Yes. He asks McGonagall to go down to Hagrid's house. And there'll be a large black dog in the pumpkin patch.
Oh, yeah.
Take him to my office, tell him I'll be with him shortly, then come back here.
Yeah, and none of them question it, and I loved that. They're just like, yes.
They're just like, yep.
Yeah. I love that no one questioned it, because that would have been such a useless waste of time.
Yeah.
Everyone just trusted that they had to do what they had to do, and I love when people like do that kind of thing in books and films.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
just get on with the job.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, I respect that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Then he starts opening up the trunk.
The trunk with seven locks.
Yeah.
Trying each key in each lock.
Yeah, so then he opens up each one, finds like spell scrolls and empty bottles, and then eventually he comes to the lock that when he looks inside is like a fucking pit.
Yeah, and the real Moody's down in the bottom.
Yeah, fucking bloodied and skinny and still got one leg.
Yes.
He's got an eye hole. Which Crouch has given him a fun marble to put in there in the meantime. Yeah. Oh, just giving him like a folded up Pokemon card. But, like, put that in your eye socket.
Yeah.
Like, ow!
It's so pointy.
Yeah, and then Dumbledore's like, ah, oh, yes. He's been keeping the real Alistair Moody here. See how he's missing clumps of hair? They're using that to put in his polyjuice potion.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
I mean, what's polyjuice potion?
Dumbledore's like, yes, you know, the one that you used in second year. You know, when you left those two sleeping boys in the closet.
Oh, yes, I was straight there. I know all about that. Missed opportunity, if you ask me, boy.
But it's all right. Plenty of time left. We've still got book six, Harry. Oh, God. And so, like, while this is happening, the Crouch Moody starts to turn back into Crouch.
Yeah.
His leg pops off and fucking grows back in, which makes me feel sick.
His eye pops out.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's, oh, just watching that, oh, makes my skin crawl. I don't like looking at amputees, Tom. No, yeah. I'm just joshing.
God.
Yeah, and obviously everyone's like, fuck.
Fuck you know. McGonagall returns with Winky and she's like, you just killed him.
I thought it was Snape.
Oh, yeah. Snape returns with Winky. One of them returns with Master Barty.
Yeah.
You just killed him.
Yeah, and she's having sort of just, she's just having lots of fits and stuff.
She's just being Winky. She just needs to fucking calm it, doesn't she?
She does! Yeah, and then Dumbledore wakes Junior up.
Yes, we pours Veritaserum into his mouth first. And then, yeah, and then wakes him up. And so begins the monologue.
Yeah. I just put Junior tells everything.
Yeah. Yes. Have we covered it enough in the series leading up to this that we don't have to comb through it now?
We can quickly whiz over it, I think.
All right.
Okay. Especially because I've got a point about the Azkaban switcheroo.
Is it that she was careful to take Polyjuice Potion until the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Yeah, so right when his mum got proper sick, she was like, look, Mr. Crouch. Because she never addressed him by his first name.
Yes.
She was like, look, as my dying wish, I want you to get our son out of Azkaban. If you can switch us. So he rocks out to Azkaban with his dying wife. And then Junior's like on his last legs as well. And basically they give them both Polyjuice Potion. So Junior turns into his wife. His wife turns into Junior. Crouch walks out of there with the Polyjuice Junior as his wife. And Junior's like, because the Dementors, all they sensed was one healthy person and one
sick person arriving, and then one healthy person, one sick person leaving.
Then he was like, my mother was careful to take Polyjuice Potion right up to the end. When she died, she was buried in the grounds by the Azkaban guards. And I was like, okay, so she must have been discovered and then like and then buried all within the hour.
All within an hour.
Yeah,
of her,
like of her taking the last bit of potion.
So and she must have had a stash of potion in the cell with her.
Well, she must have had like a few vials on her. She must have been like literally like, I'm gonna die any day now.
Yeah.
Which is hard to predict.
Can you kill yourself in Azkaban? Or do they take your shoelaces?
Oh my god, that would have been such a good see, that would have been a good thing for her to like put in that she took a Polyjuice potion and then killed herself. No, to make to ensure that she would be buried as her son.
Yeah. And made sure to do it when a Dementor was like right nearby so they could sense her life going out or whatever.
Yeah, but I don't think that is what happened.
No.
And it would be fine if they were in, like, solitary confinement, because the Dementors obviously can't see, but, like, I think they were, although they, like, I guess they were in individual cells, maybe, that there would have been other people in surrounding cells that would have seen the body being taken out, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it would have all had to happen super quick for her not to be discovered. It's just a bit, I just thought, I don't buy that.
Yeah, I assume she would have just turned back into herself once in the cell, but then it didn't matter.
Yeah, that's and if they were, like, not around any other Death Eaters or anything, yeah, okay. But for him to say she took it right up until the very end, I thought that's not possible.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
So, yeah, I didn't buy that.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. Stop trying to sell it.
Yeah, and then it cuts to him being in his father's house, being kept as a prisoner, permanently under an invisibility cloak.
Yeah, permanently under the Imperius curse and an invisibility cloak night and day. The house elf became his, like, carer, basically.
Yeah.
And then he tells about how Bertha Jorkins came round and she discovered him there.
Yeah, because she came round because she needed Crouch Senior's signature on some papers. Winky let her in. Then Winky went into the kitchen or something and was speaking to Crouch Junior. And Bertha came to be nosy because she wondered who Winky was talking to. And when she got in there, she guessed that there must have been another person in there. And from what Winky was saying, she surmised it must have been Crouch Jr. Which I thought, that's a lot to, like...
It is. I mean, we don't go into specifics about what Winky was saying, if she was addressing him as Master Barty.
Yeah, she must have literally been saying, oh, Master Barty Crouch Jr., I'm so glad your father broke you out of Azkaban and put you here in your mother's place.
But she could have been saying, like, how I'm going to try and convince your father to take you to the Quidditch World Cup. I know you're supposed to be hidden here because no one's allowed to find out that you're out of Azkaban.
That's weird, though.
I know, it's a bit of a stretch, but like...
It would have been better if he just wasn't under the invisibility cloak.
Well, yeah.
And Bertha just walked in and saw him.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, fuck. Because then you'd be like, fuck, that's... What's his name? And then...
Oh, yeah, same name as his dad, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Barty Crouch squared. So Barty Crouch Senior comes home and Imperio... No. What's the memory?
Obliviate.
Yeah, he fucking obliviates Bertha. Yeah. Oh, God. It's like obliviated in the head and obliviated in the family just for luck.
Make it forget everything that's ever happened to it.
Yes. Look, your hindman's regrown. Yeah. We'll cut that bit. Yeah. So Bertha kind of went on her way. And then she ended up in Albania.
Yeah, where Wormtail found her and did the business.
Yeah, and so when Voldemort...
Broke her hymen again.
He did his Voldemort ass, turned into a rat, climbed in, nibbled his way through. Oh, that's vile. Yeah, and then so Voldemort kind of does what he did. He kills Bertha, comes to the Crouch house, knocks on the door, Imperio's Barty Crouch Senior, and liberates. No, he doesn't liberate Thingy. That's after the World Cup he liberates.
Yeah, anyway. So Winky is convinced Crouch Senior to take Crouch Junior to the World Cup because he's imprisoned and his mother didn't die so that he could just carry on being in prison. She died so he could be free and he always liked Quidditch and he'll be under the invisibility cloak and stay under the curse, etc. It'll be fine.
Yeah, but then when they're at the World Cup, he says that my father didn't know that his power over me was starting to wane. It was getting stronger by the day.
Yeah, and being out of the house in the new space gave me strength as well. I saw a wand when I was sat there in the seat. So yeah, Winky was saving Barty Crouch Senior a seat in quotation marks the whole time in that top box, but it was actually Junior sat there in the cloak. While he was there, he saw a wand sticking out of a boy's pocket. So I took it.
Yes. It was me who cast a dark mark into the sky. Then when we got stupefied by all the auras, my father stumbled upon us in the bushes. And then he imperioed me again. And then all that faff happened.
Yeah, and then once the ministry was disappeared, he dismissed Winky because she failed to keep me under wraps. Yeah, and he tells about how he was disgusted with the Death Eaters that were there because they were faux Death Eaters and not truly loyal because they were free to seek the Dark Lord out, but never did. And they fleed from the Dark Mark.
That's it. And then he's... Oh, no. Hold on.
Oh, no.
I was thinking like a bit earlier when Crouch was still as moody. He was like, I told you before, Harry, the one thing I hate more than any other is a Death Eater who walked free.
Yes.
And it's like, ah. So you were telling the truth in a way.
Yes.
You were telling the truth.
With different implications.
Yes.
I like that, sir. Well played.
Well done, sir. Shake hands.
He should walk free for that. Yeah. Come on, guy. That was good. That was a good twist. Guy knows
liberation.
How to
because I like the cut of his jib.
Yeah,
and then he was like, then Voldemort came.
Yes, then it was just me and my father at the house.
Yes.
Until...
He brought a third party in.
To experiment. Then
things got very wild. We had to cover all the paintings.
God, imagine being fucking Barty Crouch Senior throughout that period.
I mean, he was in period for a lot of it, right?
Once after Voldemort came.
Yeah. Oh, so you mean like kind of before that?
Yeah, knowing that he's got...
How did he sleep at night? I would have been scared that my spell would break in the middle of the night and then my son would come and kill me.
Yeah. And just all of it, that would be discovered.
I would have just permanently gave him sleeping potion.
Yeah, then you might as well just kill him.
Yeah. Really, you should have took his wife to Azkaban, shut the cell door and been like... I have the opportunity right now to get rid of the two of my biggest problems. Yes. Finally, I could buy that red Ferrari I've always wanted.
But just me and my Winky.
He buys Winky like a little wig, like a little dress. Oh, Oh, God. Make sure you wear that red lipstick that I like winking. Okay, Master. Yes, wear her perfume. Yeah. Spray it everywhere. Here's some lip balm. But I've got lipstick on, not for those lips. Oh, God. Yes, that, it would have been atrocious being Crouch Senior during this time.
Yeah, it would have been awful. So, yes, so then, having received information from Bertha Jorkins about where Crouch Junior is, Voldemort turns up with Wormtail at the house.
Mm.
They Imperial Crouch Senior, and turns out the whole Ludicrous Triwizard Tournament plan was Voldemort's idea.
Yeah.
He gave this plan to...
Which, I mean, of course it is. Like, Voldemort always has to have some fucking, like, theatrics involved.
Yeah, he's all about the fucking theatre, isn't he?
Yeah. But even so, it's quite a foolhardy plan.
Yeah.
Especially for Voldemort.
Again, I mean, we went over it kind of in depth in the last episode, but, yeah, like... But, yeah, it is kind of a case of get the plan... Really, all the plan needed to be was take the place of Alistair Moody as Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. And then once you're there, make something into a portkey, bring Potter into your office, tell him to pick it up.
Mm. Or, at some given moment, just send Crouch Senior around to the Dursleys' house, get Harry to step outside, apparate to the Crouch house, do the spell.
Yeah. Yeah, there were so many easier ways.
Like, even if he just said, right, Wormtail, I want you to turn back into a rat, go back to Hogwarts. In the middle of the night, I want you to take a hair from Dumbledore's beard. If you can't get Dumbledore, get Hagrid's.
Yeah, maybe. I was going to say, I think Dumbledore would be wise.
Maybe McGonagall's head.
McGonagall's beard.
Yeah. Take one of McGonagall's short and curlies. Bring it here. We'll polyjuice potion into McGonagall. Go to the Potter house. Get Harry. Bring him here. Do the potion. Wallop, wallop, wallop. I'm back.
Yeah. Or even, yeah, just transfigure Barty Crouch. Because you've got Barty Crouch Sr. under the Imperial Curse anyway. Although, had Harry met Barty Crouch Sr. by then?
Yeah, because the World Cup had happened already.
But then he went to the Burrow after that.
Yeah. Okay, so even better, because then Voldemort can go to the Burrow then. Yeah, so fucking hell.
Yeah,
just
but
let Wormtail and Voldemort should walk up to the Burrow.
Yeah, but in the form he's in, he probably can't fight off a family of Weasleys. So I think he would have to get Harry out, apparate away.
If he just waited until they were all outside playing like Quidditch or something. If they just kept a watch out, I'm sure there were times when it was just like three.
Either way, getting him away from with Barty Crouch Senior under the Imperious Curse, getting Harry away from the Burrow. Apparated him to where they need him to be.
Yeah.
It was a much easier plan.
Yeah. Like, so much easier. Yeah, it's fucking bananas that the first thing Voldemort goes to.
All right, we're going round on it again.
Sorry.
Settle in, guys. This is going to be the rest of the episode.
I'm just so outraged. Fuck me. Yeah, so everyone's a fucking idiot. And,
At what point... He learned that the Triwizard Tournament was happening and he thought, so that gives me my one sole opportunity to have Harry touch an object that we can have my imposter turn into a portkey.
Yeah. He should have been like, look, Polyjuice Potion into Bicrat Senior, go to the Burrow, say you need to talk to Harry about the upcoming tournament, maybe like some dangers it might possess, like might have in terms of like his safety at the school, so we need to have a chat with him. Harry would be like, oh God, that's weird, okay, but I'll go outside with you. And then while he's doing that, Voldemort and Wormtail could have gone back to the Riddle House, got the bones from his dad, gone back to Crouch House. Then he could have fucking, like, telephoned all of the Death Eaters. Like, guys, I'm about to make a big comeback. John, I'm inviting you to my launch party. RSVP ASAP. Yeah, it all would have been fine.
Yeah. I did also sort of wonder... I kind of thought myself out of this wondering, though, so maybe we'll cut this, but why Crouch Jr. sticks around at Hogwarts after he feels the Dark Mark activate? Because he must know that that means Voldemort's got his body back. Because all the other Death Eaters take it to mean that and apparate there.
That's such a good point. Yeah, because he could have just apparated out. I guess
you can't apparate out of Hogwarts. And so I did think, but with everyone there watching the third task, that's as good an opportunity as any to just walk out of the grounds. But then he was there out walking around outside the maze, so maybe he couldn't just disappear.
Do you think maybe he feels the dark mark even when he's polyjuiced?
Maybe it doesn't appear on you, but I feel like you would still feel
maybe, it. Maybe, because he didn't seem to know that the Dark Lord had actually returned until Harry told him.
Yeah, which is weird.
Maybe he couldn't because he was in Moody's form.
Maybe.
So maybe that's why.
It fully changes your, like, physiology as well.
Yeah.
Does that mean if you had an illness, if you had, like, chronic pain somewhere, if you polyjuice potion into another form, does it heal it? Does it stop it from hurting? Maybe.
I mean, I would have to assume so just by the fact that it got rid of his leg and his eye when he took the potion. So
yeah.
Which in itself doesn't make sense because that's like, do you know when Darwin was up against that guy in turn, they're trying to like prove their theories of evolution, and that guy, one of the guys was like that he believed that you could like inherit characteristics that have happened to your parents in their lifetime. So like if you cut off a rat's tail, he believed that the children of that rat would be born with like shorter tails because of that.
Oh, right.
It was
right.
Really stupid, like, what? But that seems to be how polyjuice potion works, when really it should work as you just get the DNA. So you would have a leg as Moody and an eye as Moody.
Yeah, that does seem to sort of be the case. I guess it's like there's a magical, almost like your form is like magically stored in the ether.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's like accessed via polyjuice potion. And if your form is updated.
I mean, that must be how it works, right?
Yeah. Because he has all the scars as well.
Yeah. So I wonder if Moody, real Moody, if he... So how comes then that polyjuiced Moody didn't get less and less clumps of hair on his head as...
And get thinner and thinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it obviously replicates that person's current form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he should have started to look more and more ill throughout the year, and he didn't.
Yeah. Oh, we've picked it apart. Myth busted.
I bet my JK's like listening to this, fucking like hair all wild like a typewriter in front of her, like, fuck. He says that on that day when Crouch broke into the school, tried to find Dumbledore, Moody used Potter's map to find his dad on it, found him in the forest, killed him, turned him into a bone, buried him.
Yep.
That's kind of it. And then it's like, oh, okay. Well, that explains everything. And then we kind of move into chapter 36. The parting of the thighs. I mean, ways.
The spreading of the lips.
Oh, God.
Sorry, you went there. I had to one up.
Do you think there is such a thing as labia balm, though?
Yes, it's naturally occurring. I believe we have coined it gravy.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, new from Blistanks. Oh, fuck me. Right. So Dumbledore stands up because I guess he must have been crouching. Crouching for the crouch. And he binds Junior with a binding spell.
Yes. Yes.
He says to Snape, go get Judge Fudge.
Go get Judge Fudge. Yeah. McGonagall, please stand here, stand guard over Mr. Crouch while I take Harry up to my office.
Yes.
And he's all like, Harry, Sirius is waiting for us there.
Yes.
And Dumbledore basically makes Harry, tells him he's been a very brave boy. Mm. He needs to be brave one more time.
Yes.
And run him and Sirius through the whole ordeal, which he does.
And Sirius is like, don't you think he's gone through enough? And Dumbledore's like, if I thought I could spare him by putting him in a magical sleep and making him forget about all this thing, then I would. But I know from experience that you need to relive it all as soon as it happens.
Otherwise, the memories become faint, you see.
Yes. And I need the things in my pensive to be as solid as possible. Do you understand me, Sirius?
Yes. Wank bang clarity, Sirius.
That's my motto. Wank bang clarity. Put that on my chocolate frog card. So he makes Harry tell him everything.
Yeah, and Fawkes is flapping about, giving him a bit of encouragement.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, he does a little, like, bird song for, like, a couple of seconds, and it soothes Harry a little bit.
Yep.
Gives him the courage to regale.
Yeah, and at some point later, he sees that he's sort of, like, shedding tears on his injured leg.
Yeah. And his leg feels all better again.
Yeah.
He's like, but I can't pee again.
Yes, Harry, Phoenix tears will seal up any wound, any hole in the body.
You've got about 30 minutes to live.
Forks.
Oh, the new sitcom, like Forks and Guy. Like, this week, Forks is visiting Great Ormond Street. Oh, we're not keeping that.
No, we can't keep that.
Oh, my God.
We say that, and then I sometimes think the fact that we've said we can't keep that gives us license to keep it.
Oh, God.
Maybe. We'll see how we feel about it.
I mean, it worked for Hitler, right? Oh, dear. Right. Yeah, then it gets to the bit in the story where Harry's like, yeah, and then he took some of my blood and put that in the thing, and then his dad's bone. And then Dumbledore, when he hears about the blood thing, Harry thought he could see a gleam of triumph in Dumbledore's eyes.
Yeah.
Which I had to do a lot of research on to sort of really get to the bottom.
Yeah, that lost me.
So, it's because, and I won't be able to get to like a final point with this because I found it's the kind of thing where it doesn't entirely makes sense when you actually really look at it closely, but it does from a kind of like a distance,
right?
Kind of like a Monet. So because he obviously done that spell with Harry's blood so he could touch Harry,
yeah,
by taking the mother's protection into him, he sort of unintentionally tethered Harry to himself. He sort of made Harry, like, although Harry is a Horcrux anyway, he made...
Is this why Harry can then... Horcrux. Harry then starts to get those visions in his next year?
No, so he gets the visions because of the bit of soul in his head.
Right, yeah.
But the fact that his blood and his mother's protection runs through Voldemort's veins means that Voldemort now can't actually kill him because Voldemort being alive, Voldemort sort of made himself a Horcrux for Harry, if that makes sense, by accident. So if Voldemort survives, he can't kill Harry, which is why when he tries to kill Harry in the forest in book 7, when he Avada Kedavra's him, he ends up killing the bit of soul that was in Harry from him, because that's the only thing that could get affected. But because he's still alive, Harry doesn't die because he's been tethered to Voldemort.
Right.
But it doesn't work in reverse. So Harry could kill Voldemort, but Voldemort himself can't kill Harry. That's why in book 7, in one of Snape's memories, Dumbledore says to him, like, that it's imperative that Voldemort is the one to try and kill Harry. Because if anyone else had tried, then Harry just would have died. But while Voldemort lives, Harry can't die. But then in the final battle, it kind of makes it seem as if the reason why the spell backfires and kills Voldemort is because the Elder Wand is aligned to Harry, because Harry overpowered Draco at Malfoy Manor.
Yeah.
When Draco had disarmed Dumbledore on top of the Astronomy Tower. So the allegiance for the Elder Wand had gone from Dumbledore to Draco, from Draco to Harry.
Yeah.
So it makes it seem as if that's why the spell rebounded off of Harry and killed Voldemort in the final battle, and not because of the blood link.
Well, in the final battle, Voldemort's Avada Kedavra doesn't hit Harry. He expelliarmuses it and they collide.
Yeah, but it's because of the wand that it didn't, that it backfired. It's because of the allegiance of the Elder Wand.
Backfired. Yeah.
Then which is it then? Is it because of the wand allegiance or because Harry was tethered to him? It's like there's too many things at play as to why Voldemort actually died in the end. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if Voldemort then had used a different wand and done that same spell to Harry, then it wouldn't have worked anyway. So it makes it seem weird that Harry makes such a big deal about it being the Elder Wand in that moment. Because he does. He says, that wand has always been mine ever since thingy. And it's just a weird thing to say, I think. Because it didn't matter what wand he used.
Do you think maybe when Voldemort Avada Kedavra's Harry in the forest, that just kind of severed all ties?
No, it didn't, apparently.
Right.
Apparently, it just killed the Horcrux in Harry, which is why he sees the
But Harry's blood is still with Voldemort, so Voldemort still can't kill Harry.
So, in the final battle, it should have just been because of that reason, that's why Voldemort couldn't do it.
But I like the Deathly Hallows thing, though.
I don't.
No?
Because for me, do you know this whole argument we've had about how we think that how if the Triwizard Tournament wasn't the big thing, then what's the point of it being in the book?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel about the Deathly Hallows.
But then if we just put this blood thing aside for a second, it all comes around because Harry ends up being the Master of Death, which is why he's able to overcome Voldemort.
Yeah, but not because of actually becoming the Master of Death, though. The actual Deathly Hallows don't mean anything. They don't do anything. They don't make you...
Well, those who commands all of the Deathly Hallows is the Master of Death.
Yeah, but it's not actually being the Master of Death. It just means that you don't fear death anymore. You come to accept it and all that. It's a load of sort of trifly bollocks.
Hmm.
The only reason that the wand is meant to backfire on Voldemort is because it recognises Harry as its actual master and won't harm him. So then it's like, well, then what was the point of having the blood tie at all?
Yeah.
It just seems like a really convoluted thing. I mean, Deathly Hallows kind of don't actually do anything as like a unit, yet they're like a big thing in the book. And it's like, well, why? It's just a bit bananas, and I'm a bit like...
It is a little bit. I think it's good symbolism, though.
Yeah, I would have...
Voldemort is very much death, and Harry's very much fighting against the spread of that death. And
I just wish that the Deathly Hallows would, when they actually united, made you, invulnerable or immortal or something. Something that possessing them all, it made you that.
Yeah.
I would have put that, so they actually had, a purpose for being in the book.
Maybe. I feel like that is a way to interpret it. It's not a literal explanation that's given. It's like it's said in the kind of fairy tale of the three brothers, it's those who control the Deathly Hallows are a master of death. And that is, in the book anyway, I think, just sort of left up to your interpretation as to what that means.
Now, Dumbledore sort of tells him what that means, and it's not, Dumbledore's like, it's not that you will live forever, Harry, it's that you will, it's some anti-reason. That is a bit like...
When does he explain that? When they're in the...
In King's Cross, I think. Huh. There's definitely a bit where they kind of say what exactly the true meaning of that is. And it's like, what?
Oh.
I don't know. It's just a bit MacGuffin-y to me.
MacGuffin-y.
Yeah. Anyway, so he tells me... Yeah, so that happens. And he tells me about Priory Incantatum.
Yep. Which we know all about.
Yeah, Dumbledore explains what wants to happen, and I was like, this is ridiculous. He's like, oh, yes, Priory Incantatum. When two wands who are, made of the same thing meet each other, one of them forces the other to regurgitate its past spells. And it's like, why?
It's a glitch in the Matrix.
That's what his banana is. And then he's like, oh, you must have seen your mother and father. And then he's like, yeah. And Dumbledore's like, what do they look like? And Harry starts describing them, and Dumbledore's like, ah.
Oh. Unzip.
Yeah. Did they have the scars on them still? Did your mother look extra deathy?
Here's a question. Can you polyjuice potion into a dead person? Don't know what relevance that have. I just thought of it.
I mean, maybe that's what Harry and Ginny do on Valentine's Day. It's like, I'll become my dad, God. You become my mum.
I mean, you've got the hair colour for it already.
Won't be much of a stretch. Yeah. Just we might both take this and end up as corpses. Who knows? Anyway, fun night for all. Oh, Jesus.
So, yeah, they make their way down to the hospital wing. Hermione and all the Weasleys are there. Well, not all the Weasleys, but the Weasleys that are at Hogwarts are there.
Sirius is transformed back into a dog.
Yeah.
And he accompanies.
Yes. Dumbledore tells them all not to question him and to fuck off if Harry wants them to.
Yeah.
And that the dog will be staying. I assure you he is extremely well trained.
He is very well trained. He do all sorts of tricks. He licks everything.
You don't even need peanut butter.
Yeah, then Madame Pomfrey gives Harry a sleeping draught.
Yep,
for dreamless sleep.
Yep.
Also, that sounds pretty nice. And Harry lays down and, yeah, goes to sleep. And he's woken up by, like...
Yeah, they'll wake him if they don't shut up. Yeah. People shouting and stuff. Fudge bursts in. Where's Dumbledore?
Yeah. And then Dumbledore appears.
Yes. And this whole scene, man. God, yeah. This whole scene is just agony. Yeah. Oh, I hate Cornelius Fudge so fucking much.
It is my favourite chapter in the book, though.
You said that before, yeah. And I can see why.
Yeah. Basically, Dumbledore's like, what is all this about? And then McGonagall's like, fucking Fudge came in with a Dementor because he was scared of his own personal safety. And when he went into the fucking office, Dumbledore, the Dementor straight away fucking went up to Crouch Jr. and sucked him off. His soul came right out. Now it's nothing but a dry husk of a man. Dumbledore's like, oh, there goes my Friday night. Yeah, and then Cornelius is like, well, it's no waste to anyone, blah, blah, blah. But Dumbledore's like, yes, but now that's the only person who could have corroborated Harry's story and told us the truth about what actually happened. It's like, fuck, that's true.
Yeah.
Fudge just literally, like, he refuses to believe that Voldemort was returned.
Yeah, you're all mad. And then he's like, so you believe the ramblings of a madman, Crouch, and the word of a boy who was, well... Blah, blah.
Yeah, he's been taking funny turns all over the place.
Yeah, and Harry's like, you've been reading Rita Skeeter, Mr. Fudge.
He's like... And then McGonagall's like, oh, yes! Yeah, and then Harry names all, like, the Death Eaters who we saw.
Yeah, it's like, you're merely naming Death Eaters who were acquitted 13 years ago, and basically it culminates in Dumbledore telling him that he's blinded by his power and his love for the office that he holds. If you act now, people will remember you as brave minister who fought with everything he had, failed to act, and you'll be remembered as the minister who stepped aside and allowed Voldemort a second chance at the world.
Yeah, and then Dumbledore is like, look, if this is how you're going to be, then we have reached a parting of the ways, Cornelius.
Indeed. He said, I've always supported you, Dumbledore, with the running of this school, even keeping Hagrid and your questionable choices. If you now choose to act against me, and Dumbledore's like, the only one against whom I intend to act is Lord Voldemort. And if you oppose him, we are on the same side.
Yeah, Snape, like, thrusts his arm forward and he's like, Look, it's getting clearer and clearer, and tonight it burned black when Voldemort returned and stuff.
Which is why Karkaroff fled.
Mm. And Fudge is like, I don't know what this is all about, but...
Yeah, Fudge says something about, well, I've heard of scars acting as premonitions for bullshit before or something that I didn't really understand.
Yeah, and he goes to go, and then he turns back around and he's like, oh, your winnings, and he puts the bag of gold on Harry's bed. Then Harry's like, wow, his day just gets better and better, didn't it, Ron? Ron, look how much money I got!
Oh, I'm going to buy such a big chalice.
Yeah, and then sort of Cornelius leaves and Dumbledore's like, oh, as well, sorry, before Dumbledore has said, look, the first thing you need to do, Cornelius, is remove Azkaban from the control of the Dementors.
Yeah.
Because as soon as Voldemort returns, because now that Voldemort's back, the first thing that they will do is defect to him, and you need to send envoys... Envoys or convoys? Envoys to
send convoys to the giants. Send long lines of people to the giants.
And make peace with them, whatever. And Fudge's like, oh, no, I don't think so. So, yeah, so now Dumbledore turns to Bill and he's like, Bill, no, he's like, okay, we need someone to try and rally support at the ministry, try and find like-minded souls who are sympathetic to our cause.
Yeah, Bill says he'll go to his dad and tell him he's got to be careful, you know, not to make it look like they're sort of rousing rebellion within the ministry, but...
Hermione's like, I'll do it. Oh, God.
Revolution, you say? Cleansing, you say?
Yes, like-minded people, it's fine. Yeah.
Yes, like-minded people, gotcha.
He tells Sirius to become a man... No, that's it. He's like, and now it's time for...
For two of our number to recognise each other for what they are.
Yeah, and then he tells Sirius to become a man, Sirius becomes a man, and Snape's like, Molly's like, Sirius Black! And everyone's like, Mum, shut up, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then Dumbledore's like, you two will need to become allies because blah, blah, blah. And they're like, and he's like, but I will settle for...
A lack of open hostility.
Yeah, so they shake hands very quickly.
Yes.
And he's like, Snape... You know what I must ask you to do.
Yeah.
And Snape's like, oh, yes. He bends over, takes out his butt plug, and is like, guess I better go.
But yeah, that request kind of got me a bit.
Yeah.
Just given all the ramifications of that.
It's so much to ask of someone.
Yeah.
I personally think it's too much to ask of someone.
Well, it is, but I mean, what is he not going to ask him? He has to.
But why, really? I'm trying to think now, what good did it do, actually, that Snape went back to Voldemort?
I don't know. Did it just sort of keep Dumbledore in the know?
I guess so. That must have been purely it, yeah, just so anything.
Well, it allowed Dumbledore a way to... In the end, Dumbledore was going to have to die, and it allowed them to have a way of doing it that didn't corrupt anyone.
I can only think, like, in the end, it was kind of good because it allowed Hogwarts to stay under Snape's control once Dumbledore was dead.
Yeah.
And sort of allowed Voldemort to think he was kind of running the school, and in fact, Snape was kind of, you know, protecting people there. Because otherwise, once Dumbledore was dead, it would have been difficult for Snape to probably even remain alive.
Yeah.
So I guess for that thing, but yeah, I don't know how much useful information Snape actually passed to Dumbledore. Yeah, then Molly hugs Harry and Harry starts crying a bit. And while that's all happening, Hermione claps something on the windowsill.
Yeah, she's like, oh, sorry.
Yes.
And Harry takes the rest of his potion and falls asleep.
Yeah. Then it's the last chapter.
Last bloody chapter.
Ironically called The Beginning.
See what you did there. Harry has a meeting with the Diggories.
Yeah, the day after. And they're like...
pretty bleak.
Yeah, and his mother seems to be beyond crying.
Yep, and they refuse the gold that he tries to give him.
Yeah, because Harry's like, that's it, no, because his mum's like, at least he died happy, like he just won the cup.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that is true. And then Harry's like, look, take the gold. And he's like, oh no, dear, we couldn't. Then he's like, please just take it. And they're like, no, it's for you, dear, you won it. So Harry's like, fuck. And we sort of hear these stories from Harry remembering them because a month has passed now.
Yeah, yeah.
Since the actual day. So he says how he found comfort in going to Hagrid's a lot.
Yeah, now that they had their Defense Against the Dark Arts slots freed up because there was no longer a Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. And they get down to Hagrid's and he's all like, oh, I just had tea with a limp. And they're like, oh, you too.
Oh, did you hurt your leg then?
Fucking hell, we've sunk to puns.
Oh, God. Yeah, and Dumbledore's tasked Hagrid with a secret mission.
Yes.
And Harry's like...
oh, yeah, because at the end of the last chapter, he asks someone to go and get Hagrid and Madame Maxime if she's around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Hagrid's all like, oh, I knew it. I knew this happened. I knew he was just biding his time. Well, now it's happening. Dumbledore reckons we can stop him before he gets a good hold. That's his plan. Great man, Dumbledore.
Great man. Wouldn't know a fly.
Wouldn't know a fly. Just gets his shovel.
He's made me bury Cedric's body, but there wasn't much left to bury Harry, do you understand? Oh God, I'm so happy his parents can't see him now. He's just a series of holes.
And Harry's kind of dreading the end-of-term feast just because he's avoided the Great Hall and it's been crowded.
Yeah, he should have just asked Dobby just to bring him up food to his bedroom, I reckon.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe it's just more conspicuous of him not to be there at all. But then he's going away for the summer, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he goes anyway, and the hall is all draped in black in honour of Cedric Diggory. Karkaroff's chair is empty. The real Moody is there, looking twitchy and nervous.
Dumbledore gives a toast to Cedric. It's like one of the finest young men we've ever had. Strapping, virile, did all the things one could want.
Supple.
Yeah. Didn't want to disappoint father figures, you know. Joe's crying her eyes out.
Oh, she knows. Am I right, Joe?
And then Dumbledore.
You have the right to know how it came about.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, yeah, just drops a truth bomb on him. And yeah, says, you have the right to know he was killed by Voldemort. The Ministry, and probably some of your parents will want me not to tell you this. Some will tell you that it's lies, etc. But it's an insult to his memory to pretend that it happened any other way. He gives Harry an honourable mention as well. Faced Voldemort, showed bravery few wizards have ever shown when facing Voldemort, and for this, I honour him. And, oh yeah, because that's it. When Dumbledore honours Cedric, the whole hall stands up and says, Cedric Diggory.
Yeah.
And then when he honours Harry, a few of the Slytherins notably stay in their seats.
What bastards.
Mm.
Then, yeah, the next day comes, they're all packing to go.
Yeah, Fleur comes and says goodbye. Crumb asks for a word with Hermione.
Yeah, Ron asks for his autograph.
Yeah.
Then they get like a little compartment on their own to King's Cross, and they're talking about like the Daily Prophet, and Hermione's like, they haven't like reported on anything to do with this like at all. There's like a small little article about you.
I think
winning.
Fudge is asking them to keep quiet. And I was like, oh, you'll never keep Rita quiet. Yeah, oh, Rita like, hasn't written anything for a while. And she won't be.
Yeah.
Unless she wants me to spill the beans on her.
Yes. I've got her tied up in my sex dungeon, Harry.
I mean, she might as well have.
Yeah.
So we all know what the deal is, right? Rita Skeeter is an unregistered animagus, and she's been turning into a little beetle to eavesdrop on people. And Hermione's keeping her in a jar.
I know. And I thought this was... One thing I thought that... So, yeah, that clap we heard in the hospital wing was Hermione grabbing Rita off the windowsill because she saw her there. And I thought, okay, that's all well and good, but then that means that Rita must have seen and heard Sirius turn back into a man and all the sort of things that Dumbledore said in that room.
Yeah.
And that in itself is... If I was Rita Skeeter, I'd be like, you better fucking let me out, otherwise I'm going to tell everyone that fucking Sirius Black is in cohorts with all of you lot. Because he's still a wanted felon.
Yeah. But that was like a month ago.
Yeah. So she's been keeping in this little fucking glass jar with air holes in.
For a month?
Yeah.
I mean, I know Rita Skeeter's horrible, but that is, I mean, Jesus Christ. Hermione should be imprisoned for that.
Yeah.
That is horrendous.
Maybe Hermione's like, I just want to practice on smaller things first. I've got big plans, Rita.
Don't worry about these nozzles I'm installing in the lid.
It's okay, it's just a shower. Oh, God. Yeah, so she's like, yeah, she like, and I've said to her that she can't write a thing for a whole year. Otherwise, I'll tell the ministry about her. But yeah, I'm going to let her out as soon as we get back to home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fucking no. That should have been what the next book was about. It's fucking Rita's vendetta against Hermione. Fucking hell.
And then, overhearing Hermione's explanation of the whole Rita Skeeter thing, Malfoy and Slytherin cohorts, just very clever Granger in the doorway. And then they start being shitty, basically. Oh, you know, now the Dark Lord's back, they'll be the first to go, Potter, this crowd you've fallen in with, the Mudbloods and Muggle Lovers first. Well, second, I guess. Diggory was first, and then spells.
Yeah. Spells! Ah! Yeah, like, all of them, and then some of the Weasleys who are in the corridor fired jinxes at them all. And really, like, disgusting things happened to them all that made me feel sick. Like, tentacles on their faces and that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I was like, I would have bombed after I saw that.
On them.
Yeah.
Make it even more gross.
Just insult to injury, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, because it turns out Fred and George were coming up behind him and cursed him at the same time.
Yeah.
They just sort of kick him out into the hallway and just be like, well, let's move on, shall we? Exploding Snap, anyone?
What is Exploding Snap?
Snap that explodes.
But how? What? So you say Snap and the whole deck of cards is
I sort of vaguely, I can't remember, but my faint memory of the explanation from the first book is like, it's just like Muggle Snap, but occasionally the deck of cards just explodes.
Fucking hell. Someone needs to regulate the fucking Wizarding World. Jesus Christ.
Because Fred and George are only going to make shit worse when they get their joke shop up and running.
Fucking hell, just like Death Snap. Just every now and again, the fucking cards turns into a fucking serial killer and slaughters you and your family. Every time you pull an ace of spades, it's like, ah!
That means I'm being buried in the garden.
Oh, one on top of the other. Face to mouth.
Face to mouth.
That would be, if it was all your family, that, like, there's no good way to be buried on top of each other.
No.
It's either, like, vag to mouth or face to mouth.
Or side by side.
We can't be on top of each other side by side.
No, I suppose not, unless you're lying on your side.
Yeah, but you need to fucking dig, like, a very narrow fucking grave.
Yeah. Slot them all in carefully.
And the guy's like, this is so much fucking work. Yeah.
Like... Just chuck them in.
Yeah.
Fucking
just
hell.
Set the house on fire. It looked like a gas leak. It's fine. It's right, we're wizards. Yeah.
And they ask Fred and George who they were blackmailing, and they explain about the whole Ludo Bagman thing, about how he paid them in leprechaun gold for their bet at the Quidditch World Cup. And that, oh, well, surely that was a mistake. Nope. Deliberate. We chased him about it, and he ignored us. We kept trying to talk to him at Hogwarts. Turns out he was in massive debt to a load of goblins. And they because we saw him looking disheveled in the forest at one point, didn't we? Or emerging from the forest looking all flustered and...
I just assumed he was cruising. It's like, yeah, I found George Michael in there and, well...
You'd install a urinal.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I truly was a bag man.
Yeah, so the goblins cornered him in the forest and took all of his gold, didn't have a penny to his name.
Yeah, at the World Cup, right?
Yeah, and that still wasn't enough to cover his debts. So the way he planned on making it up was he placed a big bet on Harry, betting against the goblins. Mm. The goblins then said that that didn't come in because Harry and Cedric tied, and his bet was that Harry would win outright. And so now he's had to run for it. He's just gone, and Fred and George never got their money.
So I wonder what happened to Bagman in the end.
Yeah.
Because we never hear about him again. Maybe he just died. Maybe they found him and killed him.
Maybe.
Maybe they just like live in his house now, doing like goblin things.
Playing on his old broomsticks.
I've actually just turned into like a squat now. Just like fucking empty beer cans everywhere.
Goblin junkies.
Yeah. Fucking just like a free basin all the time.
Because, in the end, Fred and George were only asking for their money back, like not even their winnings, and he still, you know, he didn't have money, then I didn't give it to him.
So, they pull into the station,
and
he starts to get off, and Harry's like, twins, I want you to have this. And he gives them...
You're
like,
bloody mental, mate.
Yeah. Gives him a Polaroid of Cedric in his final moments. Here's a gift. Take it home, stick it on your wall. No, stick it on the back of your bathroom door.
he's made like a meme of Amos Diggory. Go, my boy!
It's even better. It's like a moving photo.
Yeah.
There's like dead Cedric and Amos just like putting his head in going, my boy! No, Harry presents him with his wizard winnings.
Yes.
That's a weird way to say it.
His wizard winnings.
Harry's like, look, this is my winnings from the Triwizard Cup. Well, I want you guys to have it. He's like, Harry, no.
Harry, no, mate.
Like, no, take it. I don't want it. If you don't take it, I'm going to fucking throw it down the drain.
Yeah.
Like a fucking twat. I'm like, that. If you did that, Harry, make sure the Weasleys are watching.
So the twins take the thing, and Harry just makes them promise to buy Ron new dress robes and say that they're from them.
Yeah.
And that it's for the joke shop.
Yeah, he says, I get a feeling we could all be doing with a good laugh soon.
Yeah, and he's not wrong.
Yeah, especially the Diggories. On Christmas Day, I want you to send them a box of your finest assortments. But I want you to sign it with love from Cedric.
That's the condition on which I give you this gold. Sign.
Oh, God.
They get to the station. Vernon's waiting and Mrs. Weasley standing by him. Molly hugs him and says, like, there's no...
place like home.
There's no place like home. He says, no, I think you'll be okay to come and stay with us for part of the summer at least. Mm. See you later.
Yeah, Godspeed, Harry.
Godspeed. And then in the back of the Dursley's car, Harry's just thinking over what Hagrid said. There was no point in worrying now. What would come would come, and he would have to meet it when it did.
Yeah.
The end.
I think it's really weird because my audiobook doubled back around again, and then it went Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, chapter one. And I'm like, oh God.
Not again.
Yeah, and that's how it ends.
Yeah, fucking hell. It was, God.
It's when it all just gets serious.
Yeah.
Black.
Yeah, no, it is. Oh, man, it was a fucking ordeal listening through that. Yeah. I haven't read these, but I've watched the films more recently than I've read the books in the last 2 or 3 years, but, like, watched them in bit. I haven't, like, properly sat down and watched them, really.
Yeah.
The last time I read the books, I reckon, was 10 years ago.
That's quite a long time, man.
It is. I've read them several times each, and I know it well, but, like, man, I just... I'm having to go through it all again. Somehow, I will say, even though we've picked the main plot to pieces, even with the whole ridiculous Triwizard Cup Portkey thing, even with that, the book still manages to be amazing.
Yeah,
somehow.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
Like, it's great.
I just think it's just so it's just the character development is what I like, and I don't know, just the sort of the general like magic of the books, not like the wizardy magic, just like sort of like the vibe of them. I think is really strong in this one. It's just very I don't know, what's that word? It just engages you in a way that you just don't get with many other books in general. I think that's like the magic of the series as like a whole. It's just so captivating.
Yeah, definitely. And especially now, obviously, that we have read the full series and I know the full story and I know what's coming, and watching it all be set up like this.
Yeah.
And knowing what everyone's going to have to go through in the next like three books.
Yeah.
And seeing, you know, Dumbledore now just start putting these things in place, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. I just thought of when the twins got the money and I thought, oh, this joke shop, like, they managed to build it into such a thing and then one of them dies.
Yeah.
That's like, and I was just like, oh, that's such a shame.
Yeah.
Alas. At least it wasn't the good one.
They're the same.
Oh, God. Yeah, the one who leaves is the one who got his ear blasted off, right?
Yeah, so there's not even one whole twin left.
Oh, God. Fucking hell. He should just have a game of exploding snap with himself then, I guess. Please let me pull out an Ace of Spades. Please let me pull out an Ace of Spades.
I want to be in the garden next to Fred.
Oh, God. Do you think they were buried in the back of the burrow? That'd be fucking weird, wouldn't it?
What, dead Weasleys?
Yeah.
There's just generations of dead Weasleys.
Yeah. So, like, we couldn't afford a mausoleum, so we've just found an empty troll hole, folded them up nicely, put them in there, covered it with a patch of dirt, I guess. What flower would you put on top of that?
A red one.
Why?
Because they're ginger.
Oh, yeah, but I feel like all red flowers are kind of, like, too ornate for them. Yeah.
Like a fucking daisy, then.
Yeah. Tell you what, just put a fucking clump of weeds on top. Be like, there you go, bit of Ajafaba. Oh, it's all right. We put you on top of Auntie Muriel. Yes, mouth to veg.
Yes, I heard specified in your will.
Yeah, that is the end of this book.
That is the end of this book.
Fucking hell. What's next week?
Movie Spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that film. Oh, God. Right. I've been Gifted.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid. Slash Hagrid's Hagrid, for those who like the OG.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got that. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, we're going to try something that may work, maybe funny, maybe not. Let's find out. For episode one of Order of the Phoenix, we would like you guys to come up with some either punchlines or phrases, funny phrases, that you would like us to try and sort of work organically into that episode. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a post up on our Instagram when this episode goes live. Head over there, Poorly Read Pod. Comment on that post with punchlines or phrases that you would like us to try and work into our episode in 2 weeks, episode one of Order of the Phoenix. We'll pick probably our five favourite, and those are the ones we'll try and work into the episode, and we'll see if it's funny or not. So head over to our Instagram, Poorly Read Pod, you'll find that post there. If you don't have an Instagram and have some aversion to making an account, you can email us as well, poorlyread@gmail.com. Right, let's see if it works.
Now, fuck off.